So interesting, earlier this week, shares of artificial intelligence chip makers had plunged all around the world. It certainly pulled down major stock indexes. There was a renewed batch of scrutiny on the AI industry, like semiconductors. Micron, SanDisk saw shares tumble more than 10% in afternoon trading. NVIDIA saw a 3% value drop earlier in the week as well. The NASDAQ declined 1.4%. On Tuesday, the S&P 500 fell nearly 1%. The South Korean benchmark fell 10% as well. So these numbers are shocking.
Yeah.
For a market that many assume is being held up by the tech industry. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean? Chris Alberta, the CEO of Principium Tactical Wealth Management, joins us this morning to talk about it. Chris, good morning. It's good to have you back, my friend.
Good morning, boys. It's funny, isn't it, how the impetus for this conversation really was based on a couple pieces that are now fake news.
Yeah, well, that's why we wanted to talk with you about it. So what exactly is going on here?
Well, like, look, the rudimentary part, which is pretty interesting, is you got to remember the basics. Everything that inhales has to exhale, and big, big inhales lead to big exhales. Mm. So the major mover here that was talked about the most is Micron. They make chips that are the AI environment is rather dependent on. Micron is up 270% year to date. So if you had $10,000 in Micron on January 1st, you're roughly around 27 grand today. This is not uncommon. Something that's up 270%, pulling back 13% in a weird, wacky day, which also aligns with earnings. Let's talk about that in a second, is not uncommon. So these prognosticators that go out and write these articles, I saw the one from Axios, for example, that you guys sent over, mm-hmm. they're all looking to be right. I mean, that's what they hang their hat on. They're not too dissimilar, frankly, to like a movie critic sitting in an apartment in New York City with their, you know, with their incense burning. So if you look at that scenario and say, why does that happen? It happens because people get pessimistic about earnings reports. Earnings reports come out, in many cases, quarterly. And the idea is that company needs now to show the books, so to speak. Are we selling enough chips in this case to justify the excitement? Because if you're not selling chips, you're not making money. And if you're not making money, you can't turn around and please your investors. So if there is any kind of cynicism or pessimism around the earnings being poorer than expected, some people will sell off some or most or all of their positions because they've already done so good for the year. They're like, hey, in case this earnings report is crappy, I want to seal up my gains. This is not uncommon. So, of course, it drops 13%. Then the very next day, the earnings report comes out surpassing expectations, and it jumps right back up to where it was. Oh, there was, it's just like you look at AccuWeather and there's supposed to be a horrendous thunderstorm, and then you watch outside, nothing happens. Right? So it's not a call that the AI run is over. There was just a little bit of a bump in the road. But if I'm up 270%, it falls 13, and I'm still up 250 and change, I'm pretty okay with that.
So for investors who've done very well in AI stocks over the past year, is it now time to take some profits and rebalance?
Well, that's up to them. Because again, it depends, Lloyd, on investor behavior, their age, their risk tolerance. Are they still working? Can they afford to have a big series of jagged edges? But I think that the last year or so at a minimum has proved that the AI thing is going nowhere. It's going to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to have large exhales along the way. We talked now, two or three times, the three of us, just about SpaceX. Right, SpaceX is an epicenter of a lot of this kind of stuff, and they just raised the better part of $100 billion for new projects in the AI space. Clearly, it's not going away.
Well, and I think the to your point depends on where you at, where you're at.
In your
life, if you feel like if you're up 250, and you want to cash out for millions of dollars because you don't want to play the game anymore, God bless. It's probably a great time for it.
Yeah.
I think the analogy of the large exhale and the large inhale, large exhale makes a lot of sense because you can't have a large inhale and a small exhale.
Mm-mm. You don't have the lung. You can't just hold on to it.
Right. You don't have the lung capacity for it. So it's very similar here. The bumps in the road, though, I mean, they are significant. So if you don't hold a mass amount of stock in the tech industry, then you might feel it a little more. But again, the rebound's been pretty quick.
Yeah, and that's, you know, modern investors too, you know, have the, we have the blessing, if you will, of having, you know, exchange traded funds, ETFs, that are a perfect mirror image of specific index. So for example, all of these tech companies, not all of them, the majority of them, they're traded on NASDAQ, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a great many people at this point who just own the NASDAQ. They don't own Micron individually. They don't own, for example, NVIDIA individually. They may, but if they're doing that, they're typically doing it with a fraction of the portfolio. But, you know, it's a high tide raises all boats type of thing. If you own the NASDAQ, you've experienced some of the gain of something like Micron up 270% and many others. But you're not then, you're diluting the total return that you could have had. But you're also spreading that risk across thousands of stock positions, which is the whole point of internal diversification. So there's more than one way to skin a cat. I mean, the fact that somebody might have a position in Micron individually and had a day where they looked and went, oh, man, I was up like crazy, and now I'm back a little bit. On the overall, they're still way, way up. And that's the big picture that everyone has to grasp. Same thing with the S&P 500.
Chris, when you look past the daily headlines and the stock market swings, what should investors really be kind of paying attention to when it comes to AI and their financial future?
I mean, I think that this is one of those times where the cliche absolutely fits. I mean, if you have all your eggs in that particular basket, I mean, you're going to have some crackage at some point. You're going to get yolk on your fingers. There's just no two ways about it. But again, that's why, you know, the broad diversification for most people's portfolios mean that AI is such a powerful force. In fact, it's probably the most powerful force we've seen in a long, long, long time. It's propping up the major markets almost independently. Mm-hmm. Healthcare is doing okay, but tech is killing it. So if you're an individual investor and you're saying to yourself, look, I'm, you know, still 10, 15 years worth of work left, and I'm in my 401k, and every time I get paid, I'm putting new money into the market. It's good to be able to dollar cost average that money in across all of those sectors. And if they're leaning a little bit more heavily into the tech, which right now makes the most sense, they've probably done very, very well. But long term, most everybody needs to remember that, you know, if they act wealthy, they tend to end up wealthy. I mean, we kind of become what we think about most when it comes to investing. And that requires having the majority of your portfolio being in foot soldier territory, just marching steadily ahead. And if you have some home run type stuff in your portfolio and occasionally it hits a grand slam, great. But if you sit there and swing the bat at every single pitch, eventually you have strikeouts too.
Yep.
So really, it just comes down to basic old school diversification and being kind of sound of mind when it comes to not risking something you can't live without.
Were you watching the Tigers last night? Is that where that baseball analogy came from?
No, but I went to the Tigers game the other day, and I watched 7 innings with no hits, and I was baking in the sun, and I thought, why the hell am I here?
So that's where it came from.
Okay.
And that's why you need experts like Chris Alberta to break it down. We appreciate it as always. Thank you.
Gotcha, fellas.
Yeah,
talk to you.
You got it. We'll talk soon. Coming up on the other side, the battle for affordability. And Republicans are trending in a tough direction right now based on national trends that we're seeing.
Yeah.
Can they ease the cost of living, truly, prior to the midterms?
Somebody has a plan.
We'll talk about it. It's coming up on JR Morning.